This is Will's Band of the Week for September 12th, 2016. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in Fourth Bedroom Studios.
Yes, here I am.
Yeah, fresh off a Green Bay Packer victory.
I tell you what, well, they won with, you know, by the narrowest of margins.
Right.
And a total nail-biter. I was pulling my hair out. It was nerve-wracking. Like 16 seconds left, and they basically... You know, the other team gets one more yard and they probably would have lost.
Yeah, it was down to the wire.
I think if they would have lost, that I'm not sure I would have come.
You know,
I would have been like, I can't do it, Will.
I watched it from an emotionally distant position.
Yeah, I can't do that. I can do that with the Badgers. But
see, I can do it more with the Packers. I sit back, kind of expect something terrible to happen, and then when it doesn't, then I'm happy.
So. Yeah, that's a healthy way to do it. I also decided on the way over here that if every game were like that, that I wouldn't watch anymore. it's not worth it. You know, if they'd say, even if every game was like that, and even if they were guaranteed to win, you know, 60 or 70% of the time, which is what they usually do, about 75%,
right.
It would still not be worth it.
It's too much investment.
Too much. Yeah, it's just like... I was ready to have the rest of my night completely ruined by a loss. But
this is a side note. I was listening to a podcast by the 538 people, you know, who do all the data stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they did one about using data. And we should have had this in reference to the Premier League team when I was trying to pick one. Because they used data to suggest to this person... Who her her team should be that she should root for.
I read that too.
Did you? So they took just a huge long list of criteria that would be important to her in deciding who to root for. So they took like the geographical proximity only being one factor, and you know, the ownership of the team and the reputations of the players, and they had some sort of a forecast for the next 5 years, and you know, like if they thought the team would be improving over the next 5 years or some kind of metric or something. Well, anyway, bottom line, they told her to root for the Packers.
Yep.
Right? The obvious choice, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
if there's an America's team, it's the Packers, right?
The
whole community owned. I mean, but they're not really community owned, are they? I mean,
well,
like,
it's not owned by. I mean, it's owned by lots and lots and lots of people in the community. But to say, like, that the community owns it, it's kind of silly.
Yeah, but it's not owned by, like, one dictator guy who, like, threatened to move them in the middle of the night to a different city or something. Like,
I mean, it's owned by me.
Yeah.
I own 1/1000th of a share.
You have, like,
I spent $200 for that.
Yeah.
It's just a little piece of paper to put on your wall.
And then they have the quote unquote shareholders meeting where everybody goes to
the stadium.
Have you gone to that?
No. I never.
Well, anyway,
if I lived there, maybe I would have gone to one. But
so we didn't have music news, but so we decided to have Green Bay Packer news instead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, and listeners are all lucky that the Packers won. Otherwise, Barrett would be like, "Nope, not coming," and I would have had to do a terrible solo podcast. So just think the fortunes of the podcast are kind of, the Packers are kind of affecting that.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we better record on a different day, I think. We'll have to talk
about
that.
Well, yeah, I think next week they're playing on Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
But well, you know what happens on Sunday afternoon next week?
No, I don't.
Or maybe it's Saturday. Our teams play in soccer.
Oh, they play each other?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So should we watch it?
Yeah, we have to watch it.
The Red Zone or something?
We'll go to the Red Zone.
You know, there's a Badger football game at 11 o'clock. So would this game be earlier? Because usually these Premier League games are earlier. We could do a doubleheader. We could watch the the soccer match and then go to the Badger game.
Right.
If you want.
Wow.
It could be pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, that sounds... hold on, let me see. That was a pretty crazy day. You keep talking. I'm going to find out what the time of the game is. Your team plays tomorrow against Everton.
They don't play on Saturday.
Our teams will face off at 10:30 a.m.
on
Central
Sunday.
Time on Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's kind of good because...
That could work out.
Yeah. You know what? I have to run 20 miles next Sunday. I'm not sure I'm going to be done by 10:30.
That would be tough. You'd have to start really early.
Because that's going to take me like probably 2 hours.
Yeah, for you. Yeah, probably about that.
I might have to, figure something out. I'll record it.
But that's pretty exciting.
It is exciting.
Right. We're going to be at each other's throats totally too, right?
We are.
Like if Tottenham scores, I might have to punch you or something.
I mean,
I think it'll be like a call for violence.
Maybe we'll have to, right, there's a place where we could watch it, but we'd be separated by kind of a barrier.
Either that or maybe Chris can be there and to restrain us if it starts to get physical.
He might take a swing at you, though.
Wait a minute, that's his team, too.
Yeah, we need a neutral party.
Right. Well, we could fly Craig over here.
Well, then he'd take a swing at me.
Oh, yeah, there's so many issues here. Yeah.
He hates Tottenham enough that...
Sorry, Craig. I've just rescinded my offer to fly you out here.
Well, the Anurag would be the obvious choice,
right?
Because he's agnostic on that, and
yeah, he'd be fair-minded.
Yeah, and it's not so far for him,
right? He could break up a fight too, right? I think he's athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll let the listeners know what happens with that. So, we might record next week's podcast before or after that. Hey, we should tell the listeners, right? This is the one where we tell the listeners what's happening next week, right?
That's right.
We're going to talk about the Wilco album called Schmilko. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to give everybody a heads up because everybody should listen to it. So then you can what will happen is they'll listen to it and that way they'll realize how knowledgeable we are because they'll go in having heard the album. And then when they hear our comments, they'll be like, those are right on.
Right. And then they'll be able to. Some of them will be patting themselves on the back because they'll say, I thought the same thing that they did. And other people will just be sort of ashamed of themselves.
Right.
For thinking something different, which turned out to be wrong.
Right. So that'll be interesting. So should we call a second album too? Because I kind of have one in mind. So let's just tell them, right? I think we should also talk about the new one by The Wedding Present.
No, sure.
Because
I didn't know they had one.
Yeah. And The Wedding Present is kind of a, indie rock veteran podcast favorite band.
Totally.
So everybody listen to Wilco and, if you get the time, The Wedding Present. So, we have some music this week, don't we?
We do.
But we don't have music news, right? Nothing happened? I don't think anything happened.
I don't think so either.
Nothing worthwhile.
Slow music news week. I don't know.
All right, let's get right to it. So I'm curious to know what you think about this album because I recommended an album by The Moles. As far as I can tell, The Moles are just one guy, and he's from Sydney, Australia, and his name is Richard Davies. Now, I was going to say he's probably a neighbor of Nicholas, but Sydney, not quite a neighbor, but, easy 10-hour drive, so Nicholas could probably stop by.
That's the other city that's there, right? There are two.
Yeah, there are only two cities in Australia, actually. Yeah. So, interesting thing is that he had this band, The Moles, and they apparently just ceased to exist in 1996. So, and now we are 20 years later, he put an album out.
Yeah.
So, I have some comments. Maybe you will too, but maybe we should just start with a track. What do you think?
Let's do that.
All right. How about track 13 of 24 called Dreamland?
Hey, you're living with the imaginary friend.
one note here.
Yeah.
You did the manual fade out again, which is so nice.
Yeah. Well, I think as a courtesy, I'll just keep doing the manual fade out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and make it a beautiful, perfect fade out in the editing process.
Right. That sounds good. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a nice thing.
Yeah.
Either that or you could rig up a light, which would start to flicker as the song was about to end to get me prepared with my comments. But
yeah.
So yeah, when you brought up the album, the first thing you told me was to listen to the second half before I listened to the first half, to listen to song 13.
Yeah. Which was that one.
Right. So I knew that you were going to pick that one.
Yeah. You had a little preview of what I was going to pick.
Mm-hmm. And, I know that you're going to say that the album is kind of backloaded.
Yes. It's actually, well, since you opened the door, I will say it's just way too long, right? It's 24 songs and a lot of them are just kind of meandering messes, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of a fun album in that there are a lot of cool, tuneful things mixed in.
Right.
So it kind of just depends if you have the patience to listen through all the other stuff. But I think that it would make, the 24 tracks would make a pretty decent 12-track album in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you can tell me what you think it sounds like. I think he reminds me of Robin Hitchcock. And
okay.
With a little guided by voices thrown in or something.
Mm-hmm. He did something with Robert Pollard.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I think I might have actually read that somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't listen to it. I just read that. And he's also in a band with another guy whose name I can't remember, but like two kind of power pop, indie rock veterans. It's called Cardinal.
Hmm.
That's pretty good. And I don't know. I mean, he's just a guy. I don't know that anybody, you know, the voice reminded me of anybody other than our Nicholas in Melbourne.
Yeah.
It did sound like, I've never heard him sing, but if he did, it might sound like that.
Yeah. Nicholas, you should send us a recording of your garage band, or your basement band.
He must sing some, right?
I don't know.
Hmm.
We know he's got a collection of guitars, so he's probably like Jay Maskus level guitar aficionado.
Right.
Yeah.
But
we know he can do many voices. I mean, like, he imitated 38 Special, so you know.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was very good.
Yeah. But no, I think that was a great example of you know, the best of the album. Just real catchy, kind of, you know, mid-tempo and pleasant.
You know what the catchy ones sound like sometimes too? Is Ariel Pink, maybe, right?
Okay.
Where he gets like, he goes like off the rails, but then he'll be like, okay, here's a zinger that's just a catchy pop tune.
Right.
Sometimes I had that thought a couple times.
Yeah. No, I think that just the hooks and the catchiness are, you know, kind of his calling card. And maybe he gets outside of that in some spots, but
yeah,
you'll return to it.
Do you have a pick you want to make?
Yes. I am going to pick a song that's only a couple after that, also in the second half, called Chills. So, kind of repetitive, but what I like about it is it's just got a richness of production, especially when the acoustic guitar comes in. And it's the kind of thing where I think in demo form, that one might have been a candidate for the axe if we're trying to cut it down to 12. But I think they just did such a nice job with the arrangement that it works pretty well.
Yeah, it has a nice full sound to it. So the album, by the way, is called Tonight's Music. 24 tracks, and as Barrett mentioned, I recommend starting with the second half. I actually made two playlists. So see it here, I've got the Moles Part 1 and the Moles Part 2. You know, it's hard to listen to 24 tracks, especially with all the meandering stuff.
It is. What is the length? A lot of them are short.
Yeah. Well, let's see. If you look at my playlists, Part 1, it's 42 minutes plus 34, so it's roughly 76 minutes. So it's kind of your basic double album.
Right, yeah. Right?
Which didn't really need to be a double album. But, you know, maybe that's sort of part of his thing where, you know, Grant's talked about this too, where, like, the sequencing of an album can sometimes make it have a completely different feel. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're set up with a, like, a really abrasive or discordant track and then a super melodic thing comes on, it just kind of opens it up and, like, because you're primed in the other direction. So maybe he's got something like that in mind.
But, you know, I mean, this comes down to me to a problem with the format, and that a double album on a playlist on Apple Music or Spotify or whatever does not work.
Yeah, it's a lot to take
in. If it's a real double album, you can just kind of, you know, say it's on LP, just grab one of the records out somewhat randomly, and then A or B, side A, one or two, three, whatever.
Yeah.
And you get to know the album that way, but to have to make a conscious choice to jump in someplace where there's no first and second half, much less cut up into four, it's just unwieldy, and it's just a little more than I care to, you know, approach very often.
Yeah.
I've listened to it a few times, but it's not something I'm going to want to go back to, partly for that reason.
All right, let's play one more. Another catchy one. Track 23, which is called Artificial Heart.
I think that might actually be Nicholas. Were you playing a game on me and, like, is it a trick?
It's actually Nicholas's band.
Because, you know, I would have never listened to it if you'd have told me that it was Nicholas.
Right, right. So I had to trick you. Yep. Sorry about the negative comments, Nicholas. Yeah.
No, I like it.
The Moles.
The Moles.
Yep. I think I read that he's in the U.S. doing some dates, like opening for some people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So if he is, check it out. You know, if he plays live, you know, you've got to have some kind of coherent live show, right? So you probably wouldn't put all of your like crazy stuff on it or in your live set as much. So maybe it'd be pretty good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Craig sent us some comments about a band that was, who was it?
It was Fear of Men. Yeah. Yeah.
Put a thing on their Facebook about having a million listens on either YouTube or Spotify or whatever it was.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, that's quite an accomplishment. And, you know, he's seen them live a few times or a couple times and said, there's never anybody there, right?
Yeah.
So why is that? It's kind of crazy. What makes them keep going on? And you got to wonder the same thing about someone who's, you know, this guy's pretty close to our age.
Yeah.
In the Moles. And if he came to Madison, where would he play and how many people would go see him? Not many.
I don't. Yeah. Yep.
So
unless his album can get popular somehow. Yeah.
And I do realize the irony of these two podcasters who've been doing this anonymously for 7 years. Like, why does this guy keep doing this if nobody's listening?
Yeah. Why do they even bother? That's what everybody thinks.
So, yeah. Right? So he, you know, my answer to that is that it's fun to do. And, right?
Yeah.
And we have some loyal listeners that contact us, and it's exciting and meaningful. And so I guess that's how these bands that don't achieve a whole lot of success, but just keep going at it. So,
right.
Good for them.
Yeah. All right. So that's the Moles. So we've got some more music, and it's going to be a fun thing. Because I got a couple things to run by you, because I want to see what you think of these things, okay?
All right. I'm so, coming in cold on these.
Yeah. The next thing, you know, let's do this. Let's have the audience go in completely cold on this, too. They might have gotten a clue from the title of the podcast, but maybe they weren't paying attention to the title of the podcast, right?
Right.
So, here's a song for you. That's Angel Olsen from her new album called My Woman. And it is just getting these incredible reviews. So, for example, sometimes we talk about Metacritic, right? They compile all the reviews, and sometimes they can, like if it's on a 10-point scale, they can just use the number But if not, then they kind of make up a number that they think is about what the reviewer was giving it, you know?
Right.
And then they give it a 100-point score. But this one's got an 89. People just love this album. And I actually don't think I love it. You know, I listened to it about 4 times, and I put it on in my office a couple times. Literally almost fell asleep twice. And I guess that could be good, right? If it, like, soothes you to sleep, but this wasn't that kind of thing.
Right.
So it was like, I'm not getting engaged enough in this, and therefore I can't stay awake.
Right. Yeah, no, that's not... right. There's a place for lullaby music.
Yeah.
Putting babies to sleep.
Yeah.
But this is not that.
I think that song has a pretty good melody, though, and she's obviously a really good singer. I guess it's just a matter of, like, do the songs engage you? And there's a few of them that do, and then there's some where I can't latch on to it.
The voice seems super loud in the mix.
Yeah, I think they're totally trying to highlight her voice.
It's kind of distracting, and I wasn't even really listening to the song. I was just concentrating on her delivery.
Uh-huh.
And the sound of her voice. So
I know that her last album, I'm guessing it must have been 2 years ago, it was really critically acclaimed, and I remember seeing it on the end of year lists and thinking, well, should I have listened to this? And I didn't really get around to listening to it that much. So I did listen to this one. Well, let's play another track, see what you think of this one. Track 2, Never Be Mine. Angel Olsen.
I do have to say I like it. I liked that one more. I was kind of just listening to the song a little bit more than just concentrating on the voice. And
that's got kind of a...
pretty catchy.
It's like a 60s folk rock thing or
something.
Yeah,
totally. So what do we know about her?
Well, she lives in...
St. Louis.
Originally, right? And now she lives in Asheville, North Carolina, which I always thought that'd be an interesting place to visit.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a touring singer for Bunny Prince Billy's band at some point.
Well, that's quite a pedigree.
There's a, you know, indie rock cred, right?
Tour with him. She's on Jaguar Records, which is pretty much about as cool as it gets.
Yeah, that's good.
She's not from anywhere near one of the coasts.
Right, that's good.
Which is very good. 29 years old. So,
yep.
You know, she's an official grown-up. So yeah, I'm going to listen to this and see if this high praise has been warranted.
Yeah. I'm telling people they should give it a chance, but, it's not going to hit my top 10 or anything. It hasn't really risen above just pleasant album for me. But there's something to be said for a pleasant album too, I guess.
Almost right? Everything falls into that category.
Yeah, that's true.
Very little falls outside of it.
Yeah. If you're a music lover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some bad music, though, out there. God, what was I... There was something I was listening to recently. where I was thinking that two genres are being combined in order to create something else popular. It was some song they were playing during a timeout at the football game I was at yesterday. And it was,
really?
Yeah, and people knew it, like they were singing along to it. And I'm like, I have never heard this in my life, and all these people are singing along with it.
A new song, or
I have no idea because I didn't know it, you know. But it sounded like a country song where the person was trying to sing it in kind of like a rock voice or something. And I just remember thinking to myself, okay, this is somebody that did like a marketing study, and they tried to take like two popular styles and combine them, and it made it a hit, you know.
Yeah,
which made me feel cynical.
Oh, yeah, totally. A lot of times when I'm driving back from up north, you know, of course you got to listen to the Rockin' Apple. Before
yeah.
before you tune it in, you have to guess what yeah. even if you're by yourself, yeah, you still have to do it.
Probably going
to
be Bob Seger.
It's going to be Bob Seger. It's going to be Led Zeppelin. It's going to be, you could even, you know, well, Rush would be a great guess at time of the day.
Right, yeah.
But maybe they're playing like a, you know, a block of something I don't want to listen to, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm sick of listening to podcasts and whatever. So I'll just tune around and find like a modern country station just for fun. Just to be like, I just want to see what the subject matter is.
Yeah.
It's so, so unbelievably unpleasant and terrible.
Yeah.
But as like a little sociological experiment, it kind of works.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, passes the time. And I suspect that it might be something that they would play on a station like that, right? Like, it sounds like a really cheesy rock song, except with the twangy voice.
Right, yeah, something like that, yeah. I just thought of what would be on if you turned on the Rockin' Apple right now.
Oh.
You know what would be? You know what would be on there?
What?
This. Right?
Yeah. Totally.
Let's play a little bit of it.
Nice cowbell.
Isn't it almost like a little bit country rock sounding?
Yeah.
I think they thought of themselves as like hard rockers.
Right. Yeah, it does have that like kind of southern boogie rock sound to it. Did you see any action? Did you make any friends?
Would you like some affection? That's the band Head East. And they're kind of a one-hit wonder. And that's not even a hit. Like, I bet 75% of the podcast listeners have never even heard that before, right? Because that was kind of a Midwest hit, right? Don't you think?
I don't have any idea. I mean,
anyway, it was huge on, like, the Rockin' Up. That song is from about, God, what year would that be from? Even before
75?
Yeah, 75 to 77 range,
okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, 75 sounds good.
Yeah.
So they would still play that, I bet. Like,
oh yeah,
right.
That's the thing, though, with a band like that, you'd be like, do we save that for the encore, or do we just like come out? I think you'd play that song like third, while you still have the people are going to be with you, like no matter how you start out, and then you play that,
yeah,
and they're like, oh my god, if it ended right now, I'd be happy.
There's no way you can open with it, obviously, because then you've just like it's all gone, you know.
Right.
And you can't really save it for the very end, probably, because you just can't sustain it. I don't know. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's Head East. All right. Here's one more from Angel Olsen that I think is pretty tuneful and I think one of the better tracks on the album. It's the last song, which is called Pops.
Those people, they don't see me. Baby, don't leave, please believe me. Couldn't love them if I tried to. No one understands me like you. I'm not playing anymore. I'm not playing anymore. Did all that before.
Yep. So that is sort of the cliche last song piano ballad.
Right.
But, you know, in her case, it doesn't sound out of place with the other music. So I don't think it's...
It's different.
It's right. Not the violation that Craig and I have talked about, like with a punk band doing a piano ballad at the end. That's cheap. You shouldn't do that, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, there you go. There's a little taste, and listeners can let us know what you think of Angel Olsen. I'm not quite on board with the 89... Metacritic, but I can give it a pitchfork 7.1.
7.1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with.
That's like, right, you know, pretty much giving it 3 out of 4 stars, but not quite.
And, okay, let's go back to the Moles album.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to listen to the whole album, it gets a 6.3 because I have to listen to the whole thing.
Sure.
But if I could combine it into one 12-track album, then I think it could rise to a 7.8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is that you can do that, right?
I can, but it requires work,
mm-hmm.
right? I'd have to actually sit down and do my own editing job.
He's supposed to have done the work
exactly,
himself.
Exactly. That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. I've got one more thing for you. This you're going to be glad I played this for you. You know, Katie Goodman is kind of a... She's almost a friend of the podcast by now, right? She's the former Vivian Girls person, and then La Sera that we've talked about like multiple times on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
and even earlier this year with that album called, wasn't it called something like Music for People to Listen to music to?
Or yeah, right.
Or something like that. So she just made a fun covers album with her buddy Greta Morgan. Greta Morgan has her own band, and I forgot the name of it, but she's coming out with an album in, like, next month. They thought, hey, let's record some covers, and I think they did a really good job with them, and they're all classic punk or pop punk type songs, and they make them sound a little different, and plus the fun thing about it is, like, some of the songs that they picked. So there's a couple here that you'll definitely know, and let me know what you think of this.
Yeah, she changed the mood on that one.
Yeah.
The Replacements.
The Replacements classic.
Yeah, that's my favorite Replacements album, Tim. I know that's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be Let It Be, but I actually like Tim better.
No, I think I do too. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're in agreement on that. So I think that has the qualifications for a good cover, which are the song, the original is good, and then you do something a little different with it, and then and then your version is good also.
Right.
So
and
it's they
not
pulled
a,
it off.
It's not a totally obvious song, you know?
Right. A couple of the songs they do here are actually, I'll give an example. They do Rebel Yell by Billy Idol, and I think that song just isn't good, and therefore the cover just can't be made good enough. Because I just think of Billy Idol with that sneer look on his face, and I'm like, nah, don't do that. But it's actually not really bad, but it's not as good as some of the other ones where the original was good. So here's another one. I think you and I are both fans of this song, so it's a fun one. In the City by The Jam.
Oh.
In the city there's a thousand things I want to say.
A lot easier to hear what the actual words are compared to when Paul Weller's yelling his way through it.
Yeah.
But that's a great song, and that they chose that song and did such a nice job. I'm going to give this a 10.4.
Is it like giving 110% in a sporting event?
Well, it would be like 104%, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun one. I really like that one a lot. So it's Katie Goodman.
What else we got?
Maybe there's a song that you recognize on here.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got the Buzzcocks. Let's see.
We got I Want to Be Your Dog, which is an old Iggy Pop song.
Yeah.
Dreaming by Blondie.
Right. Rebel Yell. Ever Fall in Love. Sex Beat. Is that like, what is that? I don't know.
I can't remember.
Yep. Well, let's take a listen to... Number 5, Ever Fallen in Love, a song by the Buzzcocks.
Thank you. future. Unless we find out what's to blame, what a shame. We won't be together much longer unless we realize we're the same.
Yeah, that's great. They really slowed that one down.
Yeah, they sure did.
They'd have to cut out a verse, otherwise it would be 15 minutes long.
Right.
But they got through it.
Yeah, yeah. I love just the pile of reverb, too, that creates mm-hmm. a lot of the mood of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm definitely recommending that
she's
one.
She's got cool taste.
Yep. Very good. So if you're going to do a covers album, this is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Take It, It's Yours. Katie Goodman and Greta Morgan.
Did you ever listen to those ones, Matthew Sweet and what's her head from the Bengals? Susanna Hoffs.
Yeah.
They did two where they showed pretty good taste in music. I mean, why wouldn't Susanna Hoffs have good taste in music, though, right?
You'd think,
They were on IRS Records, like, in the early days, so.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I was never completely sold on Matthew Sweet, though.
Well, I just had that album, Girlfriend, and that's it.
And I didn't even think it was that great. So it was one of those where the critics loved it. Like the song Girlfriend, there was another song on there, like I've Been Waiting, right? I thought that was really great. But that was the only one I really liked. So I couldn't really quite buy into Matthew Sweet. I should have, because that was another, you know, critically acclaimed guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, so at least you are big enough to admit that you were wrong.
Yeah.
You did do that, right?
I was wrong. Yeah.
I have to replay that. And
yeah, it was before I had this podcast. It was before I had learned, you know, my chops in the music review business, so that I got them all correct. I now, of course, get them all correct, but back then I sometimes, you know,
missed
the boat on some things.
That's fine. Back then it was like you were playing, you know, Little League baseball.
Exactly.
And this is the bigs.
Right.
And, of course, you're going to be a lot better now.
Right. Yeah, I hadn't hit it big time on the international scene like I have now.
Right. To continue the analogy, like a pitcher throwing 45 miles an hour would have struck you out back then. Now it's going to take some serious heat up in the high 90s to get past you.
Yeah, totally. Because I'm known for making contact with the baseball, because I know that's what you got to do.
Right.
You got to make contact with the ball. I mean, how else are you going to get on base?
You've got to put the ball into play.
Yeah, you got to put it into play. So I kind of learned that. So.
One thing that always completely mystifies me is this idea that batters can just foul off balls at will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then waiting for one that they can hit. It's like, if I just don't get that, how that's possible.
Well, it's probably easier to actually make contact if you don't take a full swing, right?
I suppose.
So maybe that's the idea.
It, like, deep in the strike zone and have more time to look for it and all that stuff.
I'm not sure.
Still.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's why we're not playing for the Brewers
or
even anybody.
Well, it's not like we couldn't, though. If we chose to, I'm sure we could just practice baseball for a couple of months and then we could probably do it.
Totally. Well, that's the thing about, like, having dreams, right, is all you have to do is want something bad enough.
And it will happen. That's America. That's the United States of America.
Right.
All you have to do is put your mind to it, and you can do anything. You can accomplish anything.
Right. And if you're a kid and you want to grow up to be an astronaut or the president or whatever, and you fall short, that's on you.
Right.
You failed.
Yeah. I was going to say, not to mention that you're a failure, because obviously you could have done it if you had put your mind to it.
Kind of just set your sights a little lower. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Something that's achievable.
Well, it's like there are people, like probably some younger people listening to this podcast thinking, you know, someday I too could be an international podcaster.
Sure.
So I don't want to give people like false hope that they could actually do this.
No.
Right?
Right.
I mean, the skills that it takes to produce something like this are pretty much like off the charts for the ordinary person.
Right. Exactly. Just go to Goodwill and get an old-fashioned tape recorder. yeah. and just record 20 minutes of yourself talking about something.
Yeah.
And don't ever let anybody listen to it, because it's going to be terrible.
Right.
But you'll kind of feel what it's like a little bit.
But maybe if you did that every day for like 5 years, then you might reach the level of something like this.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah. You know how people could get started? Listen to the Wilco record.
Yeah.
And record a little thing, like on a voice memo.
Right.
Send it in, and right. then we could play it on the podcast.
Yeah. And yeah, or do the same thing with the wedding present. This is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this. Right? It's going to be cool.
Yeah. We sound like we're like joking around a lot of the time, but I really, really want people to do this. Sounds like I was starting to get emotional there, but I just had a little cough. But yeah.
Yeah.
If you send something in, we really want to hear what you have to say. If you send something in, we will play it on the podcast. And you know, you can hear yourself. You can have your parents listen in.
Exactly. Right.
You got, first of all,
think
Dad,
how exciting that would be.
Dad, you got to listen to these guys for a super long time. Don't give up, because I'm coming out at the end, you know?
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Okay. Well, I think it's time to sign off. We said we were going to keep this one short, and by the time I edit it, yeah, we'll keep this short of an hour. Maybe might probably get it down to 55 or so. So let's do it. Should we talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week?
Let's.
Okay, we'll do that. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.